You're in my office.
Excellent.
And we're in a group called Core Infrastructure Solutions.
And what the heck is that?
So we develop engineering guidance for IT pros. And one of the projects that came along was a project to address shared computers and shared computing environments. And so I have two of the team members that worked on that project and here in my office to basically demonstrate the shared computer toolkit, which is now available in beta, and they'll fill you in on all the details.
And who's on your team?
So we have Derek Campbell right here.
Yeah. Hey, how are you doing?
And he was the PM. Yep. And we have Jose Maldonado, who is the dev lead on the project.
Awesome. How are you doing? Great. So what does this thing do? And you guys can all get involved. So.
We talk to a lot of customers in shared computer environments. So these are customers like internet cafes, gaming cafes, schools, libraries, any place where they have shared computers. And we asked them about the problems that they're facing. Actually, they were yelling at us and telling us about the problems
We don't need to ask too often. Really. Yeah.
And, we got back a common set of problems. Common set of problems primarily around security. So they've got all these untrusted users using these computers on a regular basis, right. And they regularly ruin the boxes. Right? So they get them to the state where whoever operates or manages that computer says, geez, it's broken, I have to reinstall it from scratch, or put it in a closet until somebody who knows what they're doing can reinstall it from scratch.
So when you say shared computer, you're not talking about like BitTorrent,
No, we're not thinking server side. We're thinking more of the client side, where you've got a computer in usually a public place, and lots of people come in and use that computer.
Got it.
Yeah. So our focus is largely where you don't know and you don't trust the people that are using your computers.
Okay.
So you guys spend a lot of time in libraries.
Yes, lots of time in libraries. We talk to a lot of libraries.
We have a beautiful library here in Seattle, too.
Yes, we talk to them very early on in the process to hear about what they use to lock down their computers. And yeah, pretty good stuff.
So what is your toolkit? Your toolkit then lets me as an administrator lock down the computer?
Yeah. So the whole idea was to make it really easy to set up and secure these shared computers so that they could have multiple untrusted users use them with no adverse effects over time.
Okay. And without any type of server infrastructure in the back end. That's one of the key points.
Very good point.
Does it apply to pro machines, which could benefit from a back end, it applies to home. XP, which wouldn't benefit from a back-end infrastructure. So most of these environments have two, three, a handful of computers, and nobody that knows how to set up anything behind them to maintain them or lock them down in the way that the toolkit does.
Wow. And the toolkit's free?
That's right. The public beta is a free download, and the licensing for our general release later this summer is not finalized right now, so we are interested in people's feedback.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you can get it on what website right now?
Download.microsoft.com.
Okay.
Or if you just go to microsoft.com/shared-access.
Shared access.
All the information about the toolkit, links to the download, a link to an online webcast, lots of information.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So can you show me how to lock down my computer
Absolutely.
So that I can let my son use it this summer? I have a shared computer in the house now, and it gets all sorts of funny things loaded on it. So
that's right, yes. Yeah. Well, we hear that scenario all the time, hey, could I lock down my family computer? And the answer is yes, you could use the toolkit to lock your family computers down to better secure them, but we use heavy hammers in our business, right? So the traditional shared computer is one where you don't want to store any state from the user's perspective on that computer.
Okay.
When one guy touches it and leaves files on the desktop or in the recycle bin, you want those files gone. You don't want anyone else to see them.
Right.
So, one of our technologies, Windows Disk Protection, it undoes or clears all of the changes made between each restart to the computer. Wow. So if you do that to your kids and then they start saving their homework on there, they could get kind of upset with you for for making a change like that.
I always like to use the picture example. Think of a home computer, somebody uploads their pictures fresh off a digital camera, wipes their CF card, reboots their machine, the pictures are gone.
Yeah.
So that's where you have to be, do it with open eyes, as we say.
Yeah, yeah.
When you see the demo, that becomes very apparent.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
So what I've got here is this is my work machine, so it's a domain joined machine.
Oh, cool. We'll throw out your homework.
That's right.
Well, there goes the code.
Yeah.
Well, actually, to my wife's chagrin, I've got it installed on all of our home computers at home, and she's always asking me, do we really need it installed on the MCE we've got in the living room?
Yeah.
So what I've got showing here is Getting Started, which is the first UI that you see after you install the toolkit.
Okay.
Which is our way of making it really easy to get to know all the tools in the toolkit and how to use them and with the base scenario, how it looks. And as you can see, you know, things like Windows Disk Protection are on right now. So I've already gone through these steps, and I've set up a public account. I've turned on Windows Disk Protection. You know, I've gone through and restricted the account and the computer in the appropriate ways according to the toolkit. But what I can do is bring up some of the tools and show you what those tools look like and how the restrictions are applied.
Sounds good.
So first off, we've got a tool that we call Windows Restrictions.
Yep.
And this is the tool that we use to apply restrictions on a per-user basis on the computer.
Right.
So you think of it, you might have students using a computer that get one set of restrictions, extremely locked down, can't save any files locally, all that kind of good stuff. But then you might want a teacher to be able to log on to that computer and be able to save her files and be able to work with the computer in ways that the students cannot. So it was very important for us and for our customers to make Windows Restrictions a per-user tool.
Yep.
So what I'll do is I'll select a profile, and I've got a profile on here called Public.
Okay.
And you'll see this is a profile that I've already created. It's an account called Public that then has a profile behind it. And we've done something that we call locking the profile. And then we've selected all of our recommended restrictions for shared accounts. And by clicking this one checkbox, you actually get over 300 registry and policy settings that we have already tested and determined as really useful in the shared computer environment. Yeah, yeah. So it's pretty effective. And then,
so you're a registry hacker.
Yeah, you got it. That's what we do. We hack the registry for fun and work.
Fun and profit. I'd say profit, but you're giving it away. Yeah.
There's no profit here. So one of the exciting features here is the concept of locking the profile, this little checkbox here.
Okay.
So think about the scenario where you've got this little hacker junior. They sit down at the profile, and they change the desktop wallpaper, and they remove icons from the start menu, and they totally mess up the environment. The next kid sits down and tries to use the computer, and nothing works. They can't find any icons. They don't know how to use any of the programs. They might have done even more to it, you know, even more devious or mischievous things.
Yeah.
Right? So locking the profile, we actually take the existing profile the way the operator has set it up and the way they want it, and we move it out of the way, and we tell Windows, hey, when you log on, take a copy of that profile and use it, and when they log off, get rid of it. So it's a completely temporary profile. So that little hacker junior thinks, oh man, I'm really screwing this thing up. And when they log off, it's gone. There's no problem whatsoever with that profile anymore.
That's really cool.
Yeah, so very slick. And previously, that's a concept known as a mandatory user profile that only, you know, only big environments have used. You need to have Active Directory, and you need to have, you know, user profiles that are roaming in your environment. And we do it all locally, so there's no infrastructure required from a server perspective.
Right. Now, let's say I have 40 computers, or like Seattle Library, right?
Yep.
Has a few dozen computers, maybe even 100.
500, yeah.
How do you load this, and how do you set it up? Do you have to set it up on each computer separately? Or
yes. The restrictions that we're applying are just like group policy restrictions. So if you've got a really big environment like the Seattle Public Library has, then you would want to use Active Directory and group policy so you can centrally manage those restrictions, which is what they do, incidentally. Our target market for this particular product are the folks that don't have and don't want that Active Directory infrastructure.
Right.
It's too much for them. So yes, even if they have a dozen computers, they'd want to install it on a dozen computers. Or install it on the one computer and then image or clone, you know, Norton Ghost that computer onto the other computers in the environment. Yes.
Very cool. Yes. So this is good for up to maybe 20 computers? At what point do you
yes and no.
switch over to the centralized?
We talked to a customer today that's interested in using this for 2,000 workstations across the U.S. So it all depends on their scenario and when they want to use Active Directory in the scenario and when they don't want to use it.
And also their imaging setup. I mean, they sounded like they had a very well-managed image system. You know, where
yes.
they have a very tightly controlled image that they are able to deploy quickly and swiftly throughout those 2,000 machines. So that made this viable for them after I heard that.
That's right. That's right. Every one of the tools that you can see a UI for also has a command line version.
Oh.
So anything you can do through the UI, you can actually script and build into like an imaging script or deployment scripts.
Awesome.
Yeah. Let's see. So some other exciting things we do here, we have some session timers in addition to our restrictions down below, where we can do a mandatory log off after 60 minutes or 30 minutes. And we give the end user warnings. You know, at the beginning we say, hey, you've got 60 minutes. And then when they've got 5 minutes left, hey, you've got 5 minutes left, be sure to save your work. And then at 60 minutes, we log them off forcibly. And then we have the idle log off timer, which gives you the ability to say, hey, if they walk away from the workstation, when should it log off? And that's really to protect their privacy so that nothing that they left behind is available to the next person. And then we have this concept of drive restrictions as well, where you can take any of the drives available on the computer, even network drives or USB flash drives that get added as you plug them into the computer, and you could say, don't let those show up in my computer.
Okay.
They're still accessible to programs, so you can see here I've got the C drive restricted. The programs on the C drive still run, but when the user goes to browse, you know, whatever they've got in my computer, they won't be able to see what's in the C drive. They won't even see the C drive.
Right.
You know, and the one important point to make here is that the recommended restrictions, we have really done a good job of testing. So we've gotten, you know, we've hired hackers, so essentially penetration testers, to come in and see if they can get around these restrictions.
Did you really hire 11-year-old kids?
No, but we heard great feedback from 11-year-old kids through our private beta testers on, you know, all kinds of stuff that, you know, in the very early stages we had never heard of. How to use help and support to hack a Gates Foundation computer, you know, and how to, you know, how 14-year-olds were browsing the web on computers where you weren't supposed to be able to browse the web, you know, using, you know, all the flexibility of Windows to do that. And so these recommended restrictions, you take them all, you get the benefits of all that testing. You take just a few and you think, oh, I know what I'm doing, I think that's good enough. You don't get any of the benefits because you loosen it in certain ways and it's effectively like turning the whole thing off. You've opened up a hole that anybody could use.
Got it.
If they've got the skills. So, let's see. The other tool in our toolkit that we like to talk about is called Windows Disk Protection. This is the heavy hammer we were talking about before. This is the one where every restart of the computer clears all of the changes to the Windows partition that were made. And I've got it running on my work computer, so there's actually ways to make sure that you can have persistent information on an optional, you know, like a D drive, for example. But for most shared computer environments, it's just that one Windows partition that they want to protect and prevent any changes to. The exciting part about the tool is the way we continue to handle critical updates in a very automated and easy to turn on fashion.
Okay.
So you turn on Windows Disk Protection, and if you were to let Windows control the automatic updates process, it would download and install updates, and then you'd restart the computer and they'd all go away, as if they were never applied. So we actually take ownership of the computer in the middle of the night to download and install updates and then save them to disk so we can save trusted updates.
Very cool.
The same time that we do antivirus updates and then any other updates the customer has.
Very cool.
And I'll let Jose talk about some of the restart options and how we've done some cool things.
And again, it's important to point out that the tool, what it protects is the Windows partition. You know, so there are similar tools, third-party tools in the market that let you become more granular in that respect, where you can say, yeah, protect the E drive or protect some other drive, not necessarily Windows. What we're after here is wherever the Windows directory lives. Yeah. So typically, you know, so going back to us, Windows. It automatically figures out where on the computer that is and goes ahead and locks the drive. So again, some of the problems we talked about before in terms of like a home computer, usually a home computer has everything on one same drive. So that's where reboots would clear, in some cases, information that you might want to keep. A couple of different startup options that make it a very powerful tool. The default is the clear option where, again, any reboot will get rid of any change that that machine has gone through. It does have the concept of saving changes. So at some point, although the tool is protecting that drive, an operator might decide to install a new program, make an update outside of the critical update process, and might want to keep it. So the operator can quickly, you know, just select that option, reboot the machine, and as it comes up, that change would permanently be on that machine, and it would revert back to the undo or the clear state there, where subsequent reboots would eliminate changes.
Right.
And now the administrator on that, Jose, would go and do that on each of the machines where that where that executable or where the code is installed.
Right.
Right.
It would have to make the change to each machine and set it in that mode for it to keep.
So now, they're making these changes locally, not in some central Active Directory.
Right, yes. The two additional modes that are provided are for retaining changes for a particular amount of time. Retain changes for one restart does just that. You could actually install software that requires a reboot, restart the machine. The software just installed would still be there. It could be used, tested, see how it, you know, how compatible it is with anything else that might be on the machine. But then the next reboot would actually clear that software. So very powerful in that respect. Lets you test something that requires one restart for it to get on the machine. Then finally, there's the retain changes indefinitely, which, again, just exactly that. You can restart the machine as often as you want, and as long as it's in that mode, changes will stay on the machine for as long as the operator keeps it in retain changes indefinitely. Switching it back to the undo mode would clear every change that was done between those two modes being set. So again, it gives a lot of flexibility in that respect. A lot of the third-party tools don't quite offer modes like that. You kind of have to turn it off, make changes, test them yourself, and then maybe put it back in the mode where it gets rid of subsequent changes.
So to run this, what do you guys need from a hardware environment? I mean, what's a typical box look like?
Well, you basically just need to fulfill the requirements for XP. If you can run Windows XP Service Pack 2, you can run the toolkit. We ask that you have some unallocated disk for Windows Disk Protection to work. We ask for at least 1 gig of unallocated disk. That's usually not very hard for people that meet the minimum requirements of XP to meet.
And does this work with tablet PCs as well?
It works with tablet PCs. Okay. And we also get the question, does it work with Media Center Edition? Yeah. And the answer is, yes, it'll install on Media Center Edition, but we're not doing all the testing as far as, you know, your TV listings and recordings and all that kind of good stuff. So that's kind of up to the user to figure out how that all works.
So when somebody tries to save a show that you don't like, then you can apply this and roll that back.
There we go, yes. Okay. So essentially any version of XP, but not 64-bit, not 64-bit XP. And, and since we were talking about it earlier, the concept of the family PC, or even the teacher scenario where you've got that need for persistent data, the tool that we use to enable that is called User Profiles. And this is the tool where you can say, hey, I want to pick an account. I'm going to pick public, which already exists. And I want to create the profile for that account somewhere else. So on my computer here, I have a C drive, which is running Windows Disk Protection. But I also have, let me just see if the test account is created. I'll delete it. I also have a D drive where I can create profiles that will then be persistent, or they'll retain their data.
Right.
Even though Windows Disk Protection is rolling back the C drive or the Windows partition.
Okay.
And
that's, I mean, real new functionality in XP. Before, you can't quite completely locate a profile on another drive. You can change certain parts of it, put my documents on another drive on the machine, put my pictures on another drive on the machine, but not the entire profile, which is what this tool is enabling.
Right, cool. Right. Yeah. So things like settings, which normally you couldn't relocate, you've relocated everything. So, you know, what language am I using for spell checking and all the different settings that you might make within your profile, you know, through the use of each application, that all gets stored persistently on that other partition.
Very cool. So does this, do all the applications work on this just fine? You know, does Virtual PC work on here?
And interestingly, you can even run the toolkit inside a Virtual PC as well. So if you wanted to do that for testing purposes and you don't want to mess up a machine that you've got, you just want to see how it all works, you can do that. All of the Microsoft applications, we've done a lot of integration testing, make sure everything all works. And yeah, it's all fine. You know, barring, of course, if you undo a change, you know, with Windows' protection, it's gone, right?
Yeah.
And we've done some third-party testing, and we're hearing from customers how that works. We're not changing the way Windows works, right? If you think of it, all of the restrictions we're taking advantage of are built into Windows already.
Yeah.
We're just enabling it. We're providing a UI so people can get to them.
Yeah.
And then on the Windows Disk Protection side, Windows doesn't even know that it's running. You know, so all of the applications and services running within Windows, they think they're right into that C drive. And all of those changes are really going into that protection partition, we call it.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool stuff. I can see how kiosk producers might use this, or in schools.
Yes, yeah, we've got a lot of interest from schools. We were just talking before you started. In our first week of having the beta available, we had over 22,000 downloads of the toolkit. Yeah, yeah, 1 week.
That's pretty impressive.
So not too shabby.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I guess there's a lot of people trying to lock down their computer. Right?
yeah. And just to make sure everybody knows about all the other resources in the toolkit, we have a 100-page handbook that goes into a myriad of scenarios, as well as some more advanced scenarios that people might want to use. You know, a really comprehensive help that describes each of the tools and all the UI elements of the tools, how they work. We've got easy access to all of our command line tools. Oops, don't, you know, cut that part.
We like bugs. We like bugs.
So if I ran this getting started from my install base rather than from my dev environment, which is where I just installed it from, you would have seen a full list of all the command line tools. So we got about a dozen command line tools. Each of the UIs has a command line tool equivalent, and then we have some command line tools that aren't available through a UI as well.
Okay.
And we also have an accessibility tool. And the accessibility tool, if you think about the shared computer environment where you've just prohibited access to the control panel and a whole bunch of things within Windows, well, how are they supposed to be able to make the environment more accessible? How do they get to control panel accessibility options and configure the options? Well, one way is you can, you know, click the shift key 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times, and then you can click on settings, and that brings up accessibility options. But how many people are really going to know that, right?
Yeah, right. Well, we all do.
There is, yeah. So,
which one is it? It's
The right shift key 5 times.
Right shift key 5
and that,
times.
That okay. turns on. Well, ask if you want to turn on. I think sticky keys is the. And then from there, you can get to all of the options. But we made it really easy, and we've added basically an accessibility tool to the all users profile. So anybody can turn on accessibility settings as well as the accessibility utilities like Magnifier and Narrator, all from one place.
That's very nice. One thing I see a lot of lockdown systems, and they're a lot of times they're set to the wrong resolution.
Yeah.
Because LCDs only support one resolution properly, and if they have the resolution set improperly, everything's blurry on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And I always want to change it back, but it's locked down, so you can't change it.
Stuck.
And of course, nobody knows where the admin is, you know, so you can't even explain it to them.
Yeah. So we were talking about disk protection. Why don't I show you that protection partition we talk about? So I've just started disk management. There's a nice icon to it from the Getting Started tool. And here you can see I've got my Windows partition, my persistent data partition, where this is where I store my own user profile and all the data I keep on the computer, like our daily builds of the Shared Computer Toolkit. And then here we've got this thing called a healthy unknown partition, which is what we call a protection partition. This is the one that Windows doesn't know what it is. It thinks it's got 100% free space on it. But Windows' protection knows what it is, and that's where it's storing all of those changes temporarily.
Very cool. Nice tool. So how long did it take you guys to build this thing?
We put it together fairly quickly. Yeah, we had our... Yeah, this will be a fun story for you guys. We had our build number 13 when we did our Jim Altman review, and that worked pretty much without a beat. And then build number 20 went to Bill Gates' review, where he sat down and we taught him how to hack Windows and delete, you know, anti-loader and stuff like that. And then he watched the computer start up again, and all the files were back the way they should have been.
So, very cool.
Yeah.
Was that fun?
It was. It was a lot of fun. It was kind of nerve-wracking, because he was really handing it out to the guy before me, and I was like...
I got to do a Steve Ballmer interview tomorrow. What did you ask Steve? This is cool stuff.
Should we show the reboot, or is that worthwhile?
We could show the reboot.
We've all seen reboots.
Yeah, you know.
We will believe you.
But we really encourage people to, you know, put it up and, you know, delete everything. We go in, we delete services, we go and install spyware, catch a virus or two, you know, go to town on the machine. Delete as much as you can from the C partition, you know, the C drive there, and then restart the computer and you're back in business.
So one of the things that we were talking about, though, before you showed up was feedback. So we have this public beta going on right now, and we want feedback. We want people to go and experience a tool, mess around with it, find out things that they wish were in it, point out errors and things that we didn't see, point out usability issues, and provide some feedback, and put that out into the public news groups and help us understand what it is that we actually need to make better as we're going through this. Because, again, right now, it's in a public beta.
Yes.
Yeah. And the purpose of that really is for us to find out if it really is, you know, hitting on all cylinders. And so we'd encourage that. You know, I would say we're not where we want on all the feedback. We're where we want on the downloads and in terms of the beta experience, but we definitely want more engagement and more feedback around the around the toolkit itself and the experience that people are
having. Channel 9ers will go to town on it.
Yeah. Exactly. We would love to have the Channel 9ers go to town on it and tell us, you know, what's screwed up with it. So that'd be awesome.
Yes, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And you know, it comes up. People often ask us, when are we going to ship this thing, right? This is beta now. When does it actually go gold? And we have a very aggressive schedule. We want North American schools to be able to install a non-beta version of the toolkit before school starts in September. And so we literally want to ship in August, which means if you count the days, we've only got like 2 to 3 weeks left for feedback on the beta. So I couldn't agree more with what Bill was saying. And if you go to Microsoft.com/shared-access, the link to the news group is right there.
So now what languages did you use to write this tool?
So this is always interesting, and the Niners guys will love this. 99% or 95% of this is written in VBScript.
VBScript?
VBScript.
Really?
Yes, yes.
Why did you pick that?
Well, we looked at the problem area and what it is that people are trying to do, and really we're just automating stuff that's in Windows. This is technology that already exists. You know, like you were saying, we're hacking the registry, right? You don't need to do very sophisticated programming to hack a registry. And we also recognize that there are a lot of people out there in hidden pockets of the world that really know their stuff when it comes to locking down shared computers. And so we wanted to be as open and transparent as possible so they can see exactly what we're doing and they can give us feedback. They can say, hey, we found problems. It's not quite shared source. You know, we're not giving people the source to change or anything like that. But if they have feedback at all on anything at all, we're very interested.
Very cool.
And then as a learning exercise, there's a lot of very cool things that we're doing. So all of the UIs are what we call HTAs. HTAs are actually, there's a lot of them in Windows already. People don't know about it because you can't, you know, see them in the directory that it's an HTA. But HTAs are baked into aspects of the control panel. It's a hypertext application or an HTML application. So it's like a web page that runs locally in the same with the same permissions model as an executable. So whatever you can do, you know, in an exe, you can do pretty much in an HTA. Right. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, everything you can see here, you know, you can look at the 2 or 3 pages of code behind each of our UIs, and you can see how we do it. So, you know, this is part of our model as a solutions team. We're not just here to solve problems for people, but we want to create a rich community where people can build on the way we've solved the problems, where they can solve new problems in unique ways. So we wanted to have an open and transparent model for development.
So do you guys have a blog or a team blog or anything?
We do not have a team blog up yet. We've been talking about whether we want to do that or use the news group there's a new user group that's been created for the Shared Computer Toolkit.
Yeah.
If you go to groups.msn.com/sharedcomputertoolkit, there's a user group getting started.
Yep.
So, you know, we're a little hesitant to create too many new communities and then have some of them die. We'd kind of rather just have a few and really support them well.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Anything else I should know about this?
I think that's it.
Yeah, I think we covered the water.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for spending a few minutes with me and showing this to me.
Hey, thanks for coming down.
Thanks. Yeah.